Well, he's not quite a coffee asshole, but he's still an asshole about coffee.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
This is the Journey for Java podcast, a show about coffee for people who enjoy coffee and like listening to stories about people, places, and things involving coffee.
Seriously, only an asshole would make it this complicated.
It's the Journey for Java podcast.
You want some coffee?
Yeah, make it fresh pot.
A Brent and on tour podcast show.
Fresh pot!
About what else? Coffee.
Coffee is the number one drink in the world. Everybody drinks it. Even little kids in Mexico drink coffee.
Well, I'm not a little kid in Mexico, okay?
Here's BD.
Is this a thing? Are we a thing?
I think we did it.
Hey, buddy.
How are you?
Well, welcome, everybody. It is the Monday, 30 minutes behind Brenton on Zero Journey for Java podcast. Joined again by Frank Sidoris. We've been working some tech out, and I think we got it sorted out. So welcome back to the show, man. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, man. This is awesome. How long has it been? When was to the date? Do you remember?
Not quite, but it's been about a year and a bit, because we you were like around episode, I think, 3 or 4, the music cast. And then I went off to travel and life and all these other things. And you, of course, traveled and lived life and did a whole bunch of other stuff at that time. So it was pre-pandemic, pre-everything when it comes to that. So it's been nuts. You've been busy doing a whole bunch of stuff just for our friends at home watching. That's right. Frank plays with Slash featuring Miles Kennedy and Conspirators. You are now 3/5 of the band that have been on the show. Like, well, you guys are the three. We got Miles and Slash still, you know, standing by to make an appearance on this thing. And of course, you're playing with Mammoth now as well with Wolfgang Van Halen on his new project, which is pretty rad. That was you guys a couple of weeks ago on Kimmel. So you've been busy, man. You've been busy. Yeah.
Surprisingly busy. It's like after all that time, I mean, especially our industry just got completely shut down. But once there was any sort of like just any opening for anything to happen, both bands that I play in were just like, okay, can we do this? We're doing this. And it was just like a couple days notice, and it seemed like, and we were just out doing things, and it's been cool, you know? It was fun doing the Mammoth stuff, because that was our first, like, you know, obviously that was the introduction to the band, you know, for the whole world. No one knew what was going on. It was like he talked about, you know, he went on Howard and he did his thing, and we discussed who was in the band, and then we ended up shooting for Kimmel and the Today Show, and it was just awesome. And the song has just the single Distance, everything is just killing it. I'm just so happy for Wolf and the whole team. It's just awesome.
It absolutely blew up. I mean, the timing was something. His last video he just did was really hilarious too.
On that
stuff. So Wolfgang Van Halen, obviously the son of recently passed Eddie Van Halen, which you know, has shook the rock world to its core with the influence he had on so many people and guitar players from around the world, musicians, everyone. It was a real sad story, and Distance really hit home how what a great dad he was and all the rest of it. So
yeah, absolutely. He really was the coolest. And like my very short time with him, you know, because years back when we first got the band together, when we all first started to rehearse, everything was in its infancy. And then Ed would just come by sometimes and just hang out, and the nicest guy in the world. And it was just, it was such a pleasure just hanging and talking, even just for a little bit with the guy.
I was going to ask you if you had much interaction with that during that time, because I'm guessing that was sort of towards the end a little bit. I know he was a bit active. He went to Wolfie to a few shows and a couple of other things. But I'm is the making of the record line up with that sort of time where it was kind of getting a little bit rough for Ed, or was did you get some time?
The whole entire thing was very top secret. You know, none of us really knew what was going on. Cause when I saw the guy, he seemed fine. He was totally healthy and laughing and just energetic. And, you know, a lot, and Wolf had said over the years, like, you know, the album would have come out earlier, but obviously these things come up, like health issues with his father. So, you know, he had discussed it before, and it just, he had to be there for his dad. But you know, he did the entire album by himself and all that. Just, it was crazy. Like he went through so much to make it happen, you know, whether it was, musical hurdles or just like getting it all done, and then family and health and all that. It was just crazy. So now to see that song that he wrote for his dad go number one, I know he's just thrilled. Like this is all, I think, something that he really needed, and it's great. Cause
and everything at that time too, around the, like all the songs have been, I fits on the other day, a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about just the different influences on the record and things like that. And I've heard a couple of different songs. Anyone watching, listening, anything, do yourself a favor. I mean, there's some solid ass rock riffs, everything on there.
It's, and, it's so him, and it's just his personality really shows through, because people tend to forget, no matter how many people I talk to about this band and like how often I've discussed, like, yeah, I play guitar in the band. They're like, so you played on the album? I'm like, no, I didn't do anything on the album. That's all him. And it's so impressive, because I don't care who you are. When you listen to that, everyone still asks, so who's on drums? Oh, that's Wolfgang. Well, who's singing? That's Wolfgang. Well, who's on? That's Wolfgang. It's like, the guy is just so much fun. He's just a great guy. And I love, like I was saying, it's like his personality comes through and all the little licks, all the little riffs, just every layer of the album is just amazing. It's just
really, I can't wait, man. Everything I've heard off of it and all the different influences. I think I even threw out there that I thought I heard a Jimmy Eat World influence in there on the latest and the one single. Mm-hmm. And I think that I heard rumblings that he's a big fan. So he's just really, and he's encapsulated all of that into there. And it's gotta be tough. And there's the shadow of your dad, but I think he's done an amazing job of saying, listen, dad was a big supporter, loved what I was doing, but this is a Wolfgang record. And obviously he played everything. Yeah. So, and then has this killer band behind it, which anyone listening now, all the players in the band are deadly. So you've gone from, and still play in potentially two of the best touring rock bands on the planet right now in rock, because there is some, you've got killer drummers in both bands. You got, you know, you got killer guys. I don't know. That must be a bit of a trip for you to be surrounded by so much talent and have the opportunity to do this for a living. You know,
it is cool, man. Just, you know, when you do look back a little bit, like kind of, cause I don't spend too much time resting on laurels in any way, but it's fun when I was talking to a guy at one of the local papers in Vegas, and he was just like discussing the not the lore, but just the history that comes with Guns N' Roses and the history that comes with Van Halen, and to be associated with them at all. And it's truly an honor, because it's like, you know, I've been playing with Slash for about 9 years, just over 9 years now, which sounds insane to me, you know. And Wolfie on and off for the last, like, I think three years we started rehearsing. And it's just cool, man. Everybody's, they're the real deal. You know, I always assumed they were how they really are. And they've shown me that. And it's just awesome. And it is cool. Like, I love playing in these bands. They're just our rock bands, like, to the core, you know. And to go back on Mammoth, what I do love is how much his songs really resonate with my wife too. Like, she's a huge fan. She plays the Mammoth songs all the time when she's working out. She just loves his almost pop sensibility, you know, his ability to write a song that is catchy and have a killer hook, but it still rocks. Like, you know, you mentioned Jimmy Eat World, and that is one of his favorite bands. And he loves Tool as well. Tool is a huge influence, and you hear it. You hear, like, I hear a little bit of Deftones at times. I hear all sorts of stuff, but it's so not like taking a page from the book almost. It just is so uniquely him. The songs are fun, you know. It's going to be cool. I can't wait till everybody hears all the extra stuff, because when they slowly started to release stuff, you know, obviously Distance came out first, and that was the first taste you got. Yeah. But then Don't Back Down, Think It Over, and, like, you know, those two songs, one of them is a full-on hard rocking song, and the other one, Think It Over, is pretty, you know, fairly pop sensibility forward. You know, it's like it's a nice, I don't know.
And he's got the sense of humor there too. He totally makes fun of himself through the whole thing, like, you know, with the video that he put out with him playing everything.
So great.
And all the rest of it, so. You mentioned your wife in there. How's she feeling? Last time you were on here, you told this amazing tale of how you had to come off the road and be with her as she was going through a batch of cancer and all the rest of it. And we've had some texts over the times and all the rest of it, but overall, how are things done?
She's amazing, like better than ever. It was truly, like, we were just talking about it today, and it's something we don't forget, but it's just, as you climb closer to what normalcy feels like, post cancer, and it's just, you're just like, man, remember how I couldn't even walk down the stairs? It's like, yeah, now I remember that. And remember how I would get winded walking down the street just a little bit? It's like, yeah, no. And we were just reminiscing about how brutal it really was and how far she's come from that, because they warned us, you know, and our tour manager, Cheryl, you obviously know Cheryl. She had breast cancer, and she gave Allie the truth, which was like, look, this, you're cancer free, but you just had chemo and radiation. So you have another couple of years until you start to actually feel like yourself, you know? And that's, when you hear that, it's just like, man, I just beat cancer. I'm clear. And then it's like, this isn't the end. And that, following year and a half or so has just been, just hard work. And she's just been, I don't know. We're going to the gym all the time with, Renee, you know, your girl, Renee. And she's working her ass off, and you could just tell, like, her energy's back. She's just feeling incredible. There's so many positives and so many things we're thankful for, because it truly was the hardest time of both of our lives. And then you incorporate the pandemic right after. So it was just like a couple of years of chaos for both of us. And now we're both just feeling light and feeling good. This is just, it's huge. So, like, most importantly, she's feeling better than ever, and she looks incredible. And you would never know. That's the crazy part. You know, she went through absolute hell, and she's amazing now.
Well, all the best to her. And that's a great story, and definitely a good story amongst a lot of, you know, bad shit going on around the world right now. So it's great to be positive and awesome and that she's going to the gym and with you and going through it. Obviously you guys are rocking it. I see, you know, you're posting some pics, you're getting in touring shape and all the rest of it. And
Brian,
Renee Paquette, hello.
He's the best,
Renee was like, I think I go to the gym with one of your buddies. And I'm like, he's there too. And she's about to have a baby real soon. So
she's still there though. That's the funny part. It's like, that's a lot of trainer, you know, she had two kids and she just knows what it's like to be pregnant and still try to maintain a fitness regime, you know? So she's a regimen. So she's been just killing it. And like, I love seeing Renee. She walks in, absolutely kills it. Big smile on her face. And goes home. I mean, I assume she's got to be having that kid sometime soon, man.
I think she's pretty. I think she's. I can't speak to it outside of the following her on everything and just making sure. But she's got ever busy. She's got a killer podcast, which I'd love to claim was breaking news on mine. But she did announce the name on my show, which is great. But you know, she's skyrocketed with that and
cookbook. Don't forget.
She's got a cookbook coming out. Actually, I had a little contest a couple weeks ago on my Twitter where I was real close to a whole bunch of views on that video with her, and I just kind of challenged some of her people to get us over the top, and then I would send them a couple of her books, and we did that. So
that's awesome.
We're sending out a couple of her books. A big supporter. She's done amazing things. So Renee, all the best with the kid. Keep working out, and all the best for Allie and everything too. So great stuff, man. Yeah. Awesome. I'm really happy to hear that. Now, it is Monday night. We are live. It is the Journey for Java and the Brent Sound Tour podcast. I'm kind of combining them all. We have a mutual love of coffee. Today, I started an instant coffee challenge where I'm only drinking instant coffee for a week. I'm still alive after day one.
Yeah. Are you feeling the life that you have grown accustomed to from the coffee you drink all the time?
I can tell you this much, that the one that I had today was fine. It's like, hey, I'm camping and I'll go with, like, you know, I'll go with this to camp. Like I'll take this camping with me as a side thing. But I can tell you what it does do. It sets the mood for the day. And okay. I had to wait till noon to have a coffee because my partner in crime that's challenged me is Karen Bliss, music journalist for a correspondent for Billboard and everything. She's a great, great person, but she was only available at noon today to talk to me about it. So I had to wait till noon to get that first coffee, and that first one was that instant coffee. And
what day are you on now? How many days?
One.
Oh, it's day one. Okay.
One. So anyways, yeah. I was going to challenge you, but you got enough on your plate. Anyways, you're a coffee lover like me, like Fitz, like Todd, like all your band guys and the rest of us try to find coffee around the world. I'll dive a little bit into your other project. We'll slash in a little bit, but let's circle back to coffee because it is the journey for Java here. So is this a secret about your log of coffee kind of from the standpoint? Are you going to put it out or is this just something that you keep
it out? I love talking to people about it too. It's not something I'm afraid to explain or talk about. It's just something I usually don't. For the longest time, I just never shared the entire list to people because I was like, that was so long. And it wasn't, I don't know. It was just something I love to do as like, or give as a gift. So like, if you said, hey, I'm going to Salt Lake City, or I'm going to Auckland, New Zealand, or I'm going to Dubai, anywhere that I've ever toured and had a coffee, I've written down, I have a whole entire list, which hopefully to see if this camera can pull it up, but I would always just give, you know, I copy and paste, send them over. And, I'd always get a nice review and a big thank you for like, wow, I would have never known that there's this coffee shop in this random mall in China, you know? Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. I love it. And there was kind of discussions about like maybe making a blog or something about it. But then again, it would just, once I have the time, I think I will, because they upkeep on making sure that the place is still in business. You know how many times we've gone back to a city and it's gone. It's like a little place in Denver.
Sure.
It was there that I loved. And now it was just there for the one time I was there, you know?
Well, when the world gets back to normal from the standpoint of traveling and being able to go see these places and go where you got, you know, to get off the plane and where am I going to go? Right now I check European Coffee Trip. And I checked Sprudge, which basically covers off your North America, your Europe. And then, you know, Google will help a little bit as far as what's local and what's best rated if you're in a rush. But
that's cool.
I think with the creation of Patreon and some of these other things that you could have a little bit of a thing going here, Frank, where you could have the Frank Sidoras Patreon and you literally like people got to pay you for your coffee guide.
Wow. I never thought of that. That is so fun. There you go.
Well, that ability, that access at any point to be able to, I'm in Bali, Frank, where do I go? I'll just go around the corner here and there you go. And
well, here, I'll show you this. You can see it on the screen. Hopefully
we're going to bring it up. We'll give you, look at that list. Yeah. How many are on there right now?
LA, and you just keep going all just everywhere. So if we stop here randomly, so you got Thunder Bay, Ontario, Toronto.
Lord Thunder and Bay. Okay, well let's go regions then while I have you on the phone and while I have you here. Then what do you got for Vancouver? What do you got for Vegas?
Okay, here we go. Let's see what I got for Vancouver. I only have two, so forgive me, but Revolver,
of course.
Is that how we
that's basically on everyone's list. Yep.
Okay. And then hopefully I'm saying this right. Rocanini.
Haven't been, heard about it though.
R-O-C-A-N-I. Wait, let me see. R-O-C-A-N-I-N-I. Yeah. And it's crazy because I remember, is that Gas?
There's Gastown. Yep.
Gastown, right? Okay.
Yep.
I'm trying to think because there was Revolver. I remember it now. I went with Todd's kids. Yes. It was a good time.
It's sort of a thing. Everyone's like, hey, you win in Vancouver. It has that rep now in Vancouver as, you know, being the spot to go, I think, amongst a lot of the publications and things like that. So that's definitely there. There's tons, obviously, in the burbs. There's some great stuff.
That's where what I love about my list is that, like, say I'm in Grand Rapids or wherever, or Vancouver, for example, like I have two places here and over the years, I feel like you'd think I'd have more for a city like that, but it's crazy. I end up, you know how touring works. It's like, if you don't have enough time, it's like you're only in and out. and it's like you have just this much the amount of break between sound check or something. It's like you got to go in, do what you can. But what I love about the list is that I have friends like you where I go, okay, well, here's what I got. What do you think? And then you have four other places that I write down, and then I go down there, and then they either all stay on the list or they don't, you know? And with you, obviously, they would all stay. But
not necessarily. I mean, well, people are reaching out to me and saying things, but I default to Fitz on some things when it comes – well, most things, but when he was the one that started the journey for me, you know, one of the proponents that started the journey for me moons ago, from the standpoint of like the first advice that I got was to always make sure when you're looking for coffee to make sure that they've spent the money on the machine. So got pour over. I mean, and you know, my feeling on Tim Wendelbo,
look, I have, where is it?
Let me bring you up here.
Tim Wendelbo. I have it in the middle there. My Oslo right there.
And coincidentally, then, Tim will be on the show next week. So there we go. He's coming back. He's coming back on. But we
that coffee sent me to the moon, man. I was on fire. It was so good.
Isn't it the best? It's really the best. And people are like, what is this, Tim Wendelbo? I had friends of mine that sent me out some for my birthday. They shipped it in. So thanks, Tombs. Nice job.
Vegas. Let me answer your Vegas question for coffee.
So, but Fitz's advice was, we'll go to Vegas in a second, but Fitz's advice was make sure that they spent the money on the machine. So in Tim Wendelbo's case, which if you guys tune in next week, I'll show you some video of it, but it's a full AeroPress cafe. So they've spent the money on the machine to get the water temperature perfect. They've spent, they've got the grinder, they've got everything, but you've got to make a commitment to go in and do it. So that is that side of it
involved, like the people behind that are working the machine, like
totally
obviously they need to know what they're doing, but on top of it they just have to be nice people, like just friendly. I love more than anything going into a killer coffee shop that has a name that people know is like the place, and I love when I could talk to them, ask them a question about something, and they're just thrilled to respond. And the last thing I want to deal with is walking in there and this guy is just instantly like just out of gas, doesn't want to talk to you about it, doesn't care. He knows he's the barista in town. It's like, I can't stand that. And that goes across the board for so many reasons, like in a guitar store, anything like that. I can't stand it. So when the people are as friendly as they are at Tim Wendelbo, it's like, and they know it's legit and people, they want to talk about it. It's like, come on. It's such a huge part of it, man. Like, I can't tell you how many times, just New York coffee shops too. Like, I think it was La Colombe.
La Colombe. Yep.
And this is before it was like everywhere, before it was, their coffee was sold at like, I don't think they sell at Target, but like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like they've exploded. They're doing really well. Like I remember I had a little bit of a, hey man, this is cool. What type of machine is this? I've never seen this espresso machine. It's just kind of like, whatever. It's they have no time. You know, that's the worst.
We've got Sarah K watching us, who says she's excited for this chat we're having. So hello, Sarah. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, Vegas, tell us about Vegas.
Oh yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. I'm just the beginnings of my coffee experience. I could date it back to, an ex-girlfriend who was a barista. She worked for, Ely coffee brand.
Absolutely. It's what started me on it.
Okay. So there you go. We have the same experience there. So
yep.
She worked at a place at Caesar's Palace, and it was owned by these two British guys. And they had it was like a really fancy, like crazy affogato, all sorts of, fun drinks and all that, which I was like, I got to try all of it. Like I have to have every single thing. And I wasn't dating her yet, but I was trying to date her. So.
Right.
I was just going there drinking whatever she was making, and it was hilarious. So then as time goes on, I just become just such a huge fan of like the most legit coffee. And as time has gone on since then, which was like 2009, the coffee shop as a whole has become much more of a staple for downtown parts of cities, you know what I mean? Like gentrified areas like come with a coffee shop. It's great. So you have the first place that really blew my mind after all those years of experience was a place called Public Us. So it's the word public and the word us put together. So have you heard about this yet?
Before I have not. I have not.
Okay, because we have a lot of – I'll tell you the other places you got to go to, but I just want to tell you the number one first because it's just – it's there's so many reasons why it's cool. So there's a place in Amsterdam that I went to called Back to Black, okay?
Been there. And
yeah, okay. So they have a machine by Spirit. Spirit's the company. And yeah. Either that's the name of the machine or the name of the model. I forget. But anyway, I was like, that is the coolest machine I've ever seen up to date. And I was so excited about it. I talked to them about it. They said, yeah, you can only get it here in the Netherlands. I believe they're built in the Netherlands. And maybe they come out of Germany, however that makes sense. But they, I was just so excited about it. Took photos. And so before I come back home to Vegas, I was telling Allie about the experience. And she's like, yeah, there's a place that just opened up downtown called Publicus. You got to go check it out. So day two after I got home, we go straight to Publicus. And we get inside. And I couldn't believe that in my own town, that machine from Amsterdam is sitting right there. And it's the it's even bigger. It was insane. And so yeah. I get to know the owner really well. We become really close friends. And that place, just not only is their coffee just next level, they won something like it was like this barista competition. It was insane. They won like second place in the States, and they have that machine, and the food is amazing. It's just like, I love that place. That's the most legit I think you can get in town. Then there's a really, really cool place called Vesta. With a V as in Victor, V-E-S-T-A. That's killer. Then you have like the longstanding Sunrise Coffee, which turned into Mothership. They're all over town now. And, you know, I know the owners there as well. It's great.
I just had a Jessica Castillo on a couple of weeks ago. And Jessica is had a pod and a site called Coffee Dates with Jess. Mm-hmm. And her series kicked off with the owners of the Mothership.
Oh, no way.
So, yeah. So she was raving about it. I haven't been there. I mean, it's been so long since I've been to Vegas I'm going to spend a day just getting caffeinated, I guess, the next time I go back. You know what I mean?
Same. I'm trying to think of, hold on. I didn't want to have to consult the list. There's a couple new ones, but, oh, Dark Moon. That's another one. That's good. It's, all over town, dude. The fact that you have, I have to say this because I would feel bad not mentioning, even though there's the nose in the air coffee fans. And then there's the people that tour like you and I, and we could sit there and we can agree. I believe we've talked about this, that you love consistency. If you're on tour and I can't find something at this random airport in Italy, that Starbucks is going to taste like Starbucks, and we can do that. That's okay. Sure. So there's a place called Samba Latte. They don't touch Publicus. They don't touch Vesta. Those are the places you go in Mothership. You go there. That's where you got to go. But if you are in this specific part of town and you need something that's not Starbucks, you go to Samba Latte. There's like two of them in town now. And I know the owner there too. And, you know, I've had a lot of meetings there. Like I got to shout them out. A good place. Like, I don't care. You know, they're consistent. They're good. Yeah. But the number one for me is Publicus, and then Vesta is the next one you got to go to. They get all, you know, they really, both of them like to, they're all about community. Publicus is like, that's their whole world is community in Vegas. And I was born here. So I love that. Like I gravitated towards it, you know, and Vesta is great too. They try to source locally, which I appreciate. So you got to do it. If I could recommend anything, those are the places.
My buddy, Jeremy Gersey, a Vegas guy too, has a whole bunch of stuff in some of the hotels there too. So Vegas, great for coffee, not just gambling and all the other stuff you hear about.
Oh,
Vegas. Vegas is everything for coffee now, which sounds like it will be a caffeinated trip for me next time. So
a question here.
Yeah.
What do you think?
We're going to get a question here. That's right. Okay. So Sarah weighing in, our friend, thoughts on Starbucks macchiato versus traditional macchiatos. Thank you for the question, Sarah. Go ahead, buddy. I'm a black coffee Americano guy. So for me, I can't totally weigh in on the macchiato, but
go ahead. I'm going to have to say that traditionally it's not even the same. Like, I feel like those are two completely different drinks, where traditional macchiato, where in Italy, I think in Milan, like Brent and I, you go for it and you get, and it's like this big, it's very small, and you just slam it and it's perfect. And it's like, that's everyone in Italy. It's so funny. They're like, we don't just, like all of our friends in Rome, they're like, you don't sit down and have a coffee. You go in there and you slam it and you leave and you go to work, you do your job. So those macchiatos, I'll say those are amazing. Those are killer. Like, those are just like, if you want that just boost and just one hit of flavor, that's the shit. I love it. But Starbucks macchiato is, I don't even think, I don't know how else to say, they're not the same thing at all, but
sure.
I can still respect a Starbucks macchiato for what it is. It's like, I had those as a kid. I used to just get those like crazy. I drank those like a monster, and then, you know, your tastes refine. And I still can't, if I'm craving one, I'll probably go get one. But I'd say traditional, you got to do it. That's just next level. But I will say this, though, and Brent Fitz had to have brought up the cortado to you, right?
Well, my first cortado I ever had was with Brent Fitz. It was at Voodoo. We had it in Australia when I saw you guys down in Australia that time. Dude. So we went out, we snuck out, and he's like, all right, I'm going to introduce you to the cortado. And away I went. So I've recently... upped my coffee system at home. I got the Breville Barista Express from the standpoint of like being able to do and try to practice.
Like one group
grinds. It grinds. I got two. I can do. It's got two different portafilters. It's got single. It's got double.
Wow.
It's got everything. It's cool. It's a great entry level kind of machine. It's in that 800 range that I did not pay 800 for. But it's in that sort of mid range if you want to get there and don't want to break the bank. But I'm still mastering the art of the latte cappuccino milk thing, and I'm so not a fan per se of milk in the coffee for me. Still, I love just the pure taste
of
coffee.
So
I'm going, but we'll get there.
You
never know. As I get closer to that journey of adding milk and lattes and all the rest of it.
Yeah. I change all the time. I feel like my taste, it's like I think the go-to guaranteed, like wherever I am, I'm always going to get an Americano or a long black. It's like the same, you know, I will always long get.
Except Italy. Italy, you're not really allowed. The Americano was named there, but you just want to take that espresso and run and get out of there.
Exactly. I know. It's so funny. And there was it's Sunrise Coffee. When I used to go there exclusively, a friend of mine was a barista, and she made the greatest piccolo ever. And so piccolo, if you've never heard, it's just a tiny cappuccino. It was just, they're all so, it's funny how coffee orders are essentially Mexican food. It's all just same thing, kind of rearranged a little bit. Most of the basic Mexican cuisine is all very comparable as far as how you, just ratios of certain things, right? So you have the piccolo, which is this tiny little incredible cappuccino she would make all the time. And I would get it twice a day. That stuff was next level. But it's essentially a cortado too. I don't know. Like I would love to have a chart just for reference so I sound a bit more educated, because I've had them all, but I forget the exact ratio and what makes it do you know the difference between a Gibraltar and a cortado? You ever heard this?
No, because I don't do them. So, but I should learn as I'm learning. That's what this is for, is educating. So why don't you educate us?
I went to about, I don't know, maybe 20 different coffee shops that tour and in Europe, I believe. And you'll see cortado or you'll see Gibraltar. And it's the same exact thing, but it depends on what glass you use, I believe.
Oh,
But that is the exact definition they said to us. They said, because there's the glass company, Gibraltar or something. And so that's the thing. It's this tiny little perfect Cortado Black.
It's all about the cups. It's all about the cups too. And as I was going through, it's like, you know, if you're going to serve, you got to serve it in the right cup. It's like anything, I'm guessing. When I was a whiskey head back in the day, it was like, you can't drink it out of that. You got to drink it out of this.
I know. It's funny. Coffee and scotch and anything. It's like the difference between a plastic cup, glass, porcelain, just, oh my God, what a game changer. But you can't drink whiskey out of porcelain. That doesn't work. Even though it's better than plastic, isn't it? Traditionally, it's like, I don't know, porcelain.
You ready to play a game? Here we go. All right. So I have a thing on here called the Espresso Shot. People have been listening and tuning in a little bit. It's good for a bit of a couple minute hit. Where basically, I'm just going to hit you with a couple of different questions. Give me your thoughts. We'll break it down and release to the public and go from there. So, all right, let me just get going here with this thing and we'll get rolling here. So, okay. Frank Sidoris / featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators, being one of the Conspirators, and Mammoth, Wolfgang Van Halen. Is that how it's called? Wolfgang, or does he want it W?
Well, it's Mammoth WVH.
That's right.
Currently.
It's going to play the Espresso Shot. 3, 2, 1. Favorite coffee region?
Australia, hands down.
Australia, which part? And all of Australia?
Melbourne. Yeah, called Brother Baba Budan. Best coffee I've probably ever had in my entire life.
Excellent. Favorite brand?
Jesus. Favorite overall brand? For the longest time, and it used to be Intelligentsia, but then I don't know. I'm just going to go local and say the brand that Public Us makes. That's my go-to. I get the bags. I forget what it's just their brand. It's the best.
I was going to ask you your favorite local. So
yeah.
Favorite local?
Public Us. Yeah.
And just to involve the rest of the world, your favorite local in Amsterdam.
Oh, Back to Black.
Favorite local in Toronto.
Their local Toronto. Oh, it's called, it was called Merchant of Green Coffee.
Do you have a favorite in London?
Favorite in London. I think it was called Flat White. It was called Flat White. It was owned by a bunch of New Zealanders. How funny is that?
For someone getting into coffee for the first time, Frank, I'm just sitting down for the first time in my life. I've never had coffee before. Mm-hmm. What do I do?
Okay. Do you like sweet stuff? Are you into bitter? Or are you into sweet? How do you handle, where do you land? That's the question I ask. I have to know.
If they say they have a sweet tooth,
I would probably say like a latte. Get a latte. I feel like that'd be an easy, just kind of walking you through, you know, because even though an Americano is watered down, it's, you know what I mean? It's espresso with water. It's still strong to people and they'll still want to add something into it. You know what I mean? And I don't know. It's like, depends on where they are. And it's like, do you drink hard alcohol? Okay. Well, you can handle this. You can handle a straight espresso, I think, off the rip, but I don't know. I'd like to give people the latte initially, you know, and then down the road, it's like, depending on if you want, like maybe they're a wine person or something and they understand complex flavors, I'd go, you got to have a pour over. Like, you know, so many people, I'll just say this real quick, is that they don't understand, like, I'm not a coffee person. That's not my thing. I always tell them, you just haven't had the right coffee. I don't care. I just know that there's that top tier level of everything. You know what I mean? Like you could not like a specific anything, like a type of food. And it's like, you just haven't had the right something. You know what I mean? The right source. And then
people would tell you that to me about seafood, man.
Well, that's, you know, that's a very specific thing. That's a whole other level. But
last one, coffee myth that you want to debunk.
Coffee myth. Interesting. Oh, that I got the exact one. It just came to me. And I hope no one else has said this because I want to be the first. That that dark roast is more caffeine.
You're like the fifth in line.
Fuck.
Said that.
No way.
But it's still the most common myth that everyone's debunking. So
what's
we're going to go with it.
What's
we're going to go with it. Mine was that as well. I spent a great deal of time going after Tim Hortons for their recent, like, hey, we're, you know, we're, our coffee is, our dark roast is back. And it's like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
So, dude, that's anyways. So
funny. I remember hearing that for the first time. I was like, what? It's not? Because it just, like, it just sounds so much heavier, sure, and meaner. Dark roast.
Now, rocket fuel. Yeah. I'd agree that it tastes like rocket fuel in most cases. So there you go.
I have
anyways, that's the espresso. Yeah, you got a question for me on the espresso shot. Go ahead.
Yeah. What do you think about those high-octane caffeine coffees like Death Wish, stuff like that?
I've had Death Wish. I mean, I think
– how does it taste?
Taste-wise, I mean, it's certainly going to – it will knock you on your ass. I couldn't drink it all day. It's one of those things where you would do that. See, I don't know when you drink your coffee. If it's first thing in the morning when you get up and you hit the coffee and that kind of gets you started. I'm a bit more of a like 11, maybe 10 or 11 o'clock kind of person, or, you know, on the way to the office or something like that to kind of get it going. So I can understand that sort of death wish kind of like thing. But I like to, you know, like I used to be with whiskey or when you or whatever, I kind of like to savor it a little bit. So
I do the same thing. I'm a slow burn. Always. I don't just slam my coffee, and I like feeling an even.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, okay.
I also like, and the one thing with Tim Wendelbo, with the AeroPress is that, as you go through it, you know, your tastes change as you get through, you know, an AeroPress and as you get through the cup and you know, everything changes. So, I love that journey on that side of it. So it's good. So yeah. Absolutely. I like tasting all of it, but I'll settle in that sort of medium world with various tastes and different highlights, whether it's chocolate or berries or whatever. I'll kind of settle in and taste it all, but still there's tough to knock the champ off. So that's been the Espresso Shot with Frank Sidoris, everybody, on the Brinson on Tour Journey for Java. All right, my friends. So as we're trucking along, I know we were kicking it off a little bit late today, but tell me before I let you go, these guys here. Now, you can probably see three of them or two of them at least every single day or close to it. You guys are all in the same town and rocking. But how's that world doing for you guys? And what's kind of without giving too much away to the universe, but how's it going over there with the camp?
Because we are lightly sworn to secrecy about the new the latest things we've been doing.
Absolutely.
But no, it's okay because Slash has been posting on TikTok, so whatever. He's just showing everyone what we're doing. It's hilarious. dude, it was awesome. So like we did a secret mission. That was,
you don't need to dive too far in. You can dive. Yeah. You can be that's secret.
Just the top. Just going to give you like that.
Yeah.
We did some stuff on a secret mission and it went really well and I'm very excited about it. But the one thing I have to tell you about that, experience was that where we were working, they had a Chemex machine. Have you ever seen that? Like it's a little
absolutely
arm.
Yep.
So I had only just seen the glass, you know, the whole situation, the pour over experience with the Chemex, but oh my God, I just, we could not stop drinking this specific brand. And I believe it's from New Mexico and it might be New Mexico and it's insane. Like it's just such a nice little pour over and we were all addicted. And so now I bought myself a Chemex. I didn't get the machine because I'm going to learn how to do it properly and then I'll get the machine, you know? And, it's just great. Like I'm a Chemex person now. So
I love the pour over.
As much as I'm a ritual, I am a ritual guy that wants to just get up and go get the coffee. I like to do that. I like to leave the house and go pick it up. But the Slash world is, it's been fun. It's been very inspiring. Everybody is, all five of us, I could speak for all five when I say we're all inspired. This is the last couple months have been very cool. And that's essentially all I could say.
Yeah, that's great. No, it's no problem. And I'm just happy that that it looks like there will be. I mean, I'm seeing some Wolfgang Van, some Mammoth kind of shows being announced.
We announced
you know, that. Obviously, you know that that's my world as far as being out there and running shows. So seeing these things trickle out is great. I was going to ask you how Vegas is doing right now, just overall, before I let you go. And because I'm sure you guys will be one of the first places to get going on shows, I'm assuming.
Yeah, dude. So for those that don't know, my mom has been producing shows in Vegas. She was a dancer since I was a kid in like all sorts of killer Vegas productions. And then she became a producer. So she's been a producer for about 20 years now with a show called X Burlesque, X Country, X Rocks. She produces Piff the Magic Dragon from America's Got Talent. She's just, she's just killing it. And her show was the first show to reopen on the Strip. Historically, the first show to open again. And it's all just climbing. Like everybody was just trying to get their show going at all. And just all the dancers, every performer I know, everyone just wanted to do something. It's just like us. It's like you're a musician. It's like we want to go play live. It's crazy. So slowly but surely they started opening theaters, but you had to have 30% capacity. It might have been 25% capacity first.
Yeah.
And 25 feet from the stage, and all the people on stage had to wear masks unless you're a magician. If you're by yourself or a comedian, you know, by yourself, you just microphone. Anytime someone else walks on stage, you both had to wear a mask. It was pretty crazy. The guidelines were next level, but it was all, you know, for the right cause, just to get it back and going. And so now I think all the venues are at 80% now. So,
oh, okay. That's good.
And it's been a hard road. You know, people were taking serious money cuts just to get it going, just to get people in the theater, half capacity, whatever, and just make it work and make it exciting. Give the crowd incentives for coming out, you know, safely, obviously. So it's going really well, dude. And Vegas is healing. So I'm very excited. You know, I love this town more than anything. So I'm very happy to see that it's happening. So that's good.
One of the busiest guys. You got you're playing with this guy. New record comes out June 11th. That was them on Kimmel a few weeks ago, obviously with Mammoth WVH. Spends a little bit of time with these guys, drinking coffee, touring around the world, making awesome music. So I'm sure we're going to see them out on tour soon with a whole bunch of music. Frank, welcome back to the show. Yeah. And I appreciate you making the time today to come on.
Anytime, dude. Yeah. Thanks for having me again. Next time I'm going to have a myth. I'm going to have like the coffee myth, and I'm going to blow everyone's mind. All right. So
we got lots of time on that. And you've also got this book to release now that you've got to put out. And we've just decided to start a Frank Sidoris Patreon page dedicated to coffee facts. I think you could charge a lot of money for access to that, buddy.
I'll do it. You're going to get credit. You'll get a percentage now.
Where can everybody find you online, my friend?
Okay. So Instagram at Frank Sidoris, Twitter at Frank Sidoris, Facebook, Frank Sidoris. So that's it. Very simple. Peasy. Yeah.
Easy peasy. Good stuff, man. That has been the Brenton on Tour Journey for Java for a Monday. I'm going to stick around with a few shout outs to some friends, but Frank, I really, really, really appreciate the time and the patience as we got through the tech.
And, dude, we made it happen.
Yeah. Come back anytime, man. And we'll talk soon. Eh?
Awesome. Thanks, man. I'll see you soon.
Thanks, buddy. We'll see you soon. Bye. That was a lot of fun. Frank making his return to the show, which is awesome. I known him for a while, met him obviously through the guys and Slash's band, Brent Fitz and Todd Kearns, both guests on this podcast over the time. They've been on here on a couple of different occasions. Fitz was just on a few weeks ago. Todd was on with me a few times, and also we had a big Seinfeld episode about the top 50 Seinfeld episodes involving coffee. Well, sorry, the top five, I believe it was. And always great. They always join us over at the Kids on the Escalator podcast as well, which I love their input on that stuff. And they introduced me to Frank over the years, and we've all bonded over coffee and our journeys around the world. So that's been a blast. A few things to get to, my friends. I have to thank my friends here at Blue Microphones. So as you can see, they sponsored the Journey for Java podcast, the Brenton on Tour podcast, and the Kids on the Escalator podcast. Great guys. They've given me the Blue Yeti X, which you see right here. They've given me the Mixify headphones to try to sound as best I can for you guys. Because when you're listening to a podcast, I don't know about you guys, but audio is everything for me. So got to try to make it as best as we can. No one wants to see this face on your screen, but maybe they'll like to hear the voice. So we'll see. But anyways, big thanks to my friends at Blue Microphones on that side. Thanks to Dean Blundell and the team over there, Rook and Dean and everybody for all of their help and supporting the podcast and all the things that we do. It's been a blast putting this thing together. Next week, I'm coming back, as mentioned, with Tim Wendelbo. He returns to try to take back his crown. He was leading the charge. The most downloaded episode of all time was Tim Wendelbo from Oslo, Norway. Yeah, coffee. It was leading the charge until John Guarnieri came along and kind of took him out. You know, he was former Secret Service agent, so I guess it does kind of make sense. But he took him out with the regaling tales of being Barack Obama's Secret Service agent and different kinds of things like that, and touring around the world with bands like Shinedown and Nickelback. So he has taken the champ down, and the champ is coming back next week to try to take it back. So lots ahead on that side of it. Again, my favorite coffee cafe in the whole world. We'll hold that until I find one to take that one down, which is going to be very, very tough to do because they're amazing people over there and they're always super, super hospitable. So yeah, so that has been the Brenton on Tour Journey for Java podcast for Monday night. Thank you all for watching. Please be sure to like, share everything. You can add me on Twitter, as you know, find me on Facebook, Instagram, all the rest of it. I really appreciate you guys listening to the show and all your support. And we'll see you guys next week with Tim Wendelbo. Stoked to have you guys a part of that. And get your questions ready because Tim is probably one of the smartest coffee people I've ever met. And I can't wait to play the espresso shot with him. It's going to be great. So until then.
Hi, I'm Emily Roger, and I host a leadership show called The Boiling Point with my co-host, Dave Vail. Together, we sit down with trailblazing entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and movement makers who are driving meaningful change in our world. The show is all about exploring the lives and perspectives of leaders who are making a difference. Join us for insightful conversations that challenge the status quo, spark new ideas, and inspire you to take action. Find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or at BoilingPointPodcast.com.
Hi, I'm Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at BroadcastDialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.